Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us this week. We always appreciate you taking time of your busy schedule to join us here this week and be part of the conversation about where we're seeing things go in the rail industry based around where the volumes are telling us. And volumes, for the first time in a while, are starting to show some life. Intermodal in particular has shown some signs of support. Now, this is not entirely unexpected when you think about what diesel prices have done over the last 6 weeks. It's not surprising that you would start to see some freight move from the highway back to the rail and that you would see some support for higher intermodal volumes. And that's exactly what we have seen over the last month. We have been hanging out basically right at our five-year average for the last 9 or 10 months. And now in the last 4 weeks, you can see a steady march upward, north from that five-year average level. We're not where we were last year, where we were running gangbusters in the first half of the year. But we are making a run at it here in the last few weeks, and we'll have to see just how much momentum there is in the intermodal space. But certainly, things have started to show some signs of life here over the last month. One piece of the intermodal marketplace that has not participated in that strength is the trailer market. You can see that the trailer market has been weak for all of 2022, and it has only gotten weaker over the last month. As containers have strengthened, trailers have weakened. We're now off more than 20% compared to where we were last year. We're well off the five-year average. We're further than that off from where we were last year. We've taken another step down. We continue to struggle here. As I've said in prior weeks, I don't believe this is the beginning of the end of the trailer market, but it is something to watch as we continue to take another step down in the trailer market. And this is a space that you would think that some of these owner-operators, some of these other truckload players, would not want to pay the diesel cost to truck that trailer all the way across country and would use intermodal for the long-haul portion of that move. But so far, on the trailer side, unlike in containers, we just have not seen that. The trailer market has not shown any sign of a rebound, any sign of recovery, any sign of a pull-up back to that five-year average. And we will certainly keep our eye on this as the year goes along. Looking at containers specifically, not surprisingly, containers follow broadly the pattern that we see in overall intermodal. You would expect that. Containers are 90% of the intermodal market. But what you can see here is that containers are actually a little bit stronger than the overall intermodal picture. And that's because they are offsetting that weakness that we just talked about in the trailer market. And so because they have to offset that weakness, they are even stronger than the overall intermodal picture would suggest. You can see here over the last month, things have stridently moved upward, and they're very close to where they were at this time last year. That's a good number. That's a very strong result for intermodal. And that is something, particularly in the container markets, particularly in the domestic markets, are showing some signs of life. That is encouraging. That is suggesting that maybe we're starting to see goods flow again. But don't shoot until you see the whites of their eyes. We have to let this go another couple of weeks. We need to see improvement in other metrics as well to let us know that we're actually seeing service turn. This is encouraging, but there are a lot of things that could be behind it, not the least of which, as we talked about, is the cost of diesel fuel. Because that uptick in intermodal and containers or overall intermodal is right in line with when diesel prices started to significantly increase. And so we have to sort of say, okay, there are a couple of different things that could be behind this. It's great to have the volume, but we're not quite sure exactly what the catalyst is, given the couple different things that could be in play. So let's shift our gaze to the carload market a little bit. And the carload is not nearly as rosy as what we're seeing in intermodal. It's a much slower picture. Yes, there's been a little bit of an increase over the last, call it 2 weeks, but we're still below the five-year average. We're not back to where we would expect to be historically. We're still struggling. We're still essentially flat with last year. Now, last year in carload is below the five-year average. Carload had a weak year in 2021. So in the carload space, to say we're even with last year is not necessarily an endearing term. But that is where we are. We have come back. We are essentially at last year's level in the overall carload space. As we break that down a little bit, there are some reasons to be encouraged. And the first and most significant of those is the economically sensitive freight category. We've seen some momentum going back really the last couple of months. We've seen sort of a slow and steady push upward. That is positive. Because as a reminder, when we talk about economically sensitive freight, that means we pull out the coal, we pull out the agriculture, we pull out the petroleum. We look at just those sectors that are more closely tied to that underlying economy. Lumber and wood, pulp and paper, metals, non-metallic minerals, automotive, those sectors that respond more quickly and more directly to economic inputs, to durable goods spending, to consumer spending, to industrial production results. Those are the sectors that are reflected in this chart. And you can see that it's okay. We've made steady progress. It's still not a number we would really write home about. We're essentially in line with our five-year average. That's great that we're there, particularly based on where we came from. The fact that we started the year below the five-year average and have gotten back there, that's great, but it's still just the five-year average. It's still just historically normal. We're not seeing any sort of significant growth there. Shifting gears, looking at the bulk markets, let's look at coal for a minute. If you looked at the natural gas price this week, you saw that it was up above $6.60 per MMBTU. That's a significant price. That is a significant jump from where we had been. We had been in the fives, and then we took a step back to the high fours, and now we're up in the upper sixes. That is very significant when you think about coal demand going through the balance of the year, particularly given that we're going into the shoulder season. We're going into a time of the year when seasonally natural gas prices should decline. They should be going down, not up. So the fact that they're going up suggests that we're going to have sustained higher natural gas prices. That raises some questions in 2022 about coal burn. Now, next year, you have an awful lot of coal units coming offline. You have a lot of potential downside risks to coal. But for 2022, at least, given where natural gas prices are, we expect this number to be well supported throughout the year. As utilities start to think about the summer, start to make plans for their summer burn ahead of peak demand as we get into June, July, August, when everybody's running their air conditioners flat out, they're going to have enough coal inventory on hand to be able to meet that demand, especially given where natural gas prices are and the fact that it does not appear that natural gas prices are going to come down anytime soon, particularly not in 2022. Looking at the grain market, we saw a significant jump in the latest week, but I will caution everyone, it is only 1 week of data. Now, grain to this point has underperformed expectations, particularly in light of the Eastern European tensions, particularly in light of a third of global grain exports between Russia and Ukraine coming out of the market. We would have expected to see grain volumes tick up a lot quicker, get back to that five-year average and exceed it. The fact that we saw a strong uptick in the latest week is great. It's a sign that maybe we're starting to see a little bit of a delayed reaction to that in the marketplace. We're starting to see folks get shipments moved of North American grain to satisfy their demand, but we're still not even back to the five-year average. There's an awful lot of room to run here if this is in fact a response to what we're seeing in Eastern Europe. We will have to see how durable this is and how high this goes over the next couple of weeks. If we jump right back down to the levels we were at prior to this, that suggests that it was just a flash in the pan, that there was nothing really behind it. If we continue to run at these levels, if we move higher, then that's something we really need to say, okay, we can start to quantify what the effect is of some of the disruptions that have been in supply chains and in commodities because of what's going on across the globe. Switching gears, switching back to look at the economically sensitive commodities and breaking those down a little bit more for you. The chemicals market continues to be a winner. We talked about it earlier in the year about how chemicals traffic should consistently be a winner as we go through the year. It should continue to run above last year, above the five average. That's exactly where it is as we open the second quarter. It's running right at those levels. Now, we'll have to see what high natural gas prices does to some of this demand, but overall, we don't expect it to have a material impact. We expect chemicals to continue to be able to run above last year, above the five-year average, and show sustained growth as we go forward in time. And that's even without help from petroleum products. Petroleum products, we bounced up strongly in the last week, but we really just stayed in line with our five-year average. We didn't really do anything momentous here. We just stayed in line with the five-year average. And that's what we expect to see happen until we see a change in petroleum products pricing, until we see the crude spread change, not just the absolute price of the product, but the spread between regions to make it economical to move it by rail. If that changes, then we'll see this number change. Until then, we would expect this number to stay fairly consistent, right about in line with its typical seasonal averages. Looking at stone, sand, and gravel, it's really been very flat, not a whole lot here over the last 6 weeks. We had a big jump right in the middle of the first quarter. We had a nice step up, got back to our five-year average. We're feeling good about ourselves in this commodity group. And then since then, it's just held firm. It has not taken another seasonal step up to meet demand. It has simply treaded water at that level. It's great that we're staying here. It's great that we're at toward the high levels of 2022, but we're still below our five-year average. We're not seeing a continuing trend up. We're not seeing another leg up in this particular commodity group. Switching gears, lumber and wood. Lumber and wood has been a lot of volatility over the last several weeks on a week-to-week basis, up and down. If you smooth that out, it's pretty flat. It's pretty flat below its five-year average level. And this is a sector that has some headwinds. This is a sector, as mortgage rates go up, as inflation continues to rise, as the Fed talks about raising the Fed funds rate, raising interest rates, you could price some buyers for new homes out of the market. You could have a distinct effect on the housing market. We haven't seen it in housing yet, but it's something we're certainly watching for as the year goes on, and would think that the majority of the risk factors for lumber and wood are on the downside, not the upside, as we go through the course of 2022. Pulp and paper, it's been weak for essentially the entire year. We took a step down, a significant step down, to start the second quarter. We remain well below our five-year average, and this is a sector that is going to have a lot of headwinds. As the economy reopens, as folks continue to normalize their lifestyles, normalize their shopping patterns, there's less e-commerce, there's less shipments to your door that require cardboard boxes. That has a direct effect on pulpboard demand and boxboard demand. So we would expect this category to underperform as we go through the rest of 2022, and we'll have to see exactly where it shakes out as we head into 2023, whether it's going to be another leg down or whether we're going to hold these weak levels into next year. Automotive volumes, after a little bit of an increase in the middle to late first quarter, we've essentially held that level over the last several weeks, and we've joined up with our five-year average because of seasonal declines that typically happen toward the end of the first and early second quarter. Now, we will have to see what happens with seasonality as we go forward in automotive. There have been announcements made by several OEMs about production shutdowns, extended production shutdowns around the Easter holiday that comes up at the end of this week. We could see an exaggerated seasonal effect. We could see this number drop dramatically over the next couple of weeks, and we'll have to see exactly what that does, how far down it could go. Certainly, the plants that have chips are going to run. Whether that's enough to offset the declines from those idled plants, we'll just have to see. For now, the thinking is we'll hang right around the five-year average until we see the supply chain for semiconductors really loosen up. And I can tell you that there's a lot of pessimism around when semiconductors will finally free up for the automotive sector. It probably is 2023 before we start to see real momentum build in this commodity group as we go forward in time, as we look at rebuilding dealer inventories, as we look at meeting production needs, optimizing production in a lot of the plants. But that's going to be one of those things, depending on how other things shake out, depending on how quickly the supply chain normalizes, how quickly inventories rebuild, you'll just have to see the duration and the magnitude of that recovery in automotive is highly variable. So to wrap up, intermodal and carload have been volatile to start the year, but intermodal in particular has shown some momentum in the last couple of weeks. Carload is still fairly weak, but intermodal appears particularly to have turned the corner. It appears to be staying strong, helped by high diesel prices, no doubt. But it is something that we're going to have to watch as we go forward to see how high intermodal goes, given that fuel prices are not likely to abate in the next couple of quarters, barring some dramatic change in the geopolitical or energy economic realms. Uncertainty continues to be an issue, whether it's inflation, whether it's energy, whether it's Eastern Europe, whether it's the West Coast port contract. There's an awful lot of uncertainty out there around supply chains. So in that vein, stay tuned. Things will continue to evolve as the year goes on because there's an awful lot of uncertainty, an awful lot of overhang over the next several months and what it means for volumes, what it means for the outlook. To that end, as we get into the second half of the year, I want to invite you all personally to come to the Crown Plaza Union Station in downtown Indianapolis in this September to hear about the outlook, hear about what the forecast says as we go forward for these commodity groups. What are we seeing as we start to process some of this uncertainty? We start to take it from known unknowns to known knowns. As we start to add some detail, we start to add some meat on the bones around what to expect for 2023, you will want to be there. It's a little bit of a different format this year. It's 4 days instead of the usual three. We have a day starting on Tuesday, ending on Friday. Truck and trailer equipment starting on Tuesday. Truck freight on Wednesday. Rail freight on Thursday. Rail equipment on Friday. You will want to be a part of it. You will want to be there. Network with your peers. Get a lot of good information. Play some golf, hang out, do some networking. A good time will be had by all. Put it on your calendars now, September 13th to the 16th in Indianapolis at the Crown Plaza Union Station. You will want to be there. And with that, I'm going to wrap up this week. I hope everybody has a good week. Hopefully some of you are getting some time off at the end of the week to be able to spend it with your families and celebrate the holidays. With that, though, we hope you have a great week. We will talk to you again next week. Thank you for listening. As always, I am your host, Todd Chernowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal at FTR. Feel free to reach out at any time to myself or any member of the FTR team if you want to discuss the industry, what you're seeing in your business, what you're hearing in the podcast, what you're seeing in our reports. We're always happy to talk about the industry and talk about the markets. This is why we get up in the morning to have these conversations. Feel free to reach out at any point. And with that, have a great week. We'll talk to you again next week.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.